avoid, stay away from. It says shun, profane. That word means godless chatter. It says profane, and look at this word, idle babbling. You know what that means, idle babblings? It means empty sounds. You know, it's empty.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Hello and welcome. In Pastor Bill's study today from the New Testament epistle of 2 Timothy, we'll learn how to stand boldly on the truth of God's word without becoming argumentative or contentious. To rightly handle the word of truth, avoid pitfalls of controversy, and instead, prepare to teach and reach others with the gospel. Now, Pastor, with today's message, the effects of false teaching.
2 Timothy this morning, we're in chapter 2, beginning in verse 14. This is a very important word. Oh, matter of fact, you know, the word is always important, amen? No matter what we're covering. But this morning, we're going to talk about, from Scripture, the effects of false teaching. Do you know that false teaching has an effect on every person? Oh, amen? It's very important that these passages are just, they're priceless, loved one, because what's going to happen here is that as we returned to Rome, if you will, to the Mamertine prison there with the Apostle Paul, that's his last earthly residence. As we already have learned, he knows that his departure is at hand. He knows that he's waiting to be executed by Nero's people, the army. And so with all that's being said, now Paul, now as he writes from that dungeon, he's telling Timothy and us, how do we react or interact with false teachers? How do we understand what we are to do? You know, the false teachers, not only at Ephesus, but the false teachers in our generation. So, and he also talks about the effect that false teaching has upon an individual. So let's begin in verse 14, where Paul gives a command. He says, Timothy, remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. So this command to Timothy, remind them, is in the present tense. So it means keep on reminding them. And you know, we need to be reminded often about the Word of God, even though we know the Word of God. Amen? And so he says, keep reminding them, not only the church at Ephesus, let's bring it up to the 21st century church, that's us, but remind them about these things. And we have to say, what things? Well, first of all, this is more than we learned last Sunday. In other words, about being a good soldier of Christ, be strong in the grace of Christ, be as dedicated as an athlete and hardworking as a farmer. It's more than verses 8, I believe it was, through 13. When he says, be the reminder of these things, he's talking about all four chapters, amen, of 2 Timothy. That's how important it is. Now, here's my question. Why was Paul so serious? And how serious was he? Well, he does something. He says, remind them about these things. And then he uses another word, charging them or commanding them. That is a strong word, loved one. And he even calls the Lord to witness this. He says, remind them or warn them before the Lord, meaning his presence. Now watch this, not to strive about words. Words that are of, number one, no profit, and to the ruin of the hearers. So these words here, of no profit, which means they're of absolutely no value. They are useless. They're empty, fruitless talk. You know, over in Peter, when he's talking about the false teachers, Peter says, they speak great swelling words of emptiness. Oh, they sound good, but what they're saying is totally empty of anything from God. Amen? And so we have to be careful. You see, Paul had already warned them, you know, Timothy, tell them to teach no other doctrine. Remember in 1 Timothy, that they were teaching myths and fables and genealogies and doctrines of demons and all the rest of that. He said, you've got to warn them. You've got to stop them. And think about the world that we live in. I mean, our world is filled with voices. We could even say Christian TV, internet is filled with voices, Christian voices. Are they all Christian though? You follow me? We have to be so careful. We have to beware of anything that will take us away from the living Word of God. We don't focus on useless things. We don't focus on man's opinions or man's arguments. Amen? The Bible says in Romans 10, 17, it says that faith cometh by hearing and by hearing the Word of God. So from verse 14, Paul tells us two things. He warns us. He warns Timothy. He says, listen, don't enter into theological arguments or theological debates with these false teachers. Now, why is he telling us not to do that? Well, we have to remember, what did Paul, over in Acts chapter 20, what did Paul, when he was praying with the Ephesian elders, and this is the church of Ephesus, remember, what did Paul warn them even with tears about? He says, after my departure, he says, savage wolves are going to be coming in. And their goal is to make disciples after themselves, not after the Lord Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, what did Jesus say about these kind of people? Jesus called them in the Gospels ravenous wolves. They devour sheep. They're starving for sheep, meaning these false teachers. And so why should we not mess with them? Debate with them? Well, the reason is because the Bible told us already you can't reason with them. And remember why? Remember over in Titus 1:15, I believe it is, it tells us that their minds are defiled, meaning their minds are dirty. Their mind is diseased. And then in 1 Timothy, I think it was 4:2, if I may be wrong on that one, but I think it was, it says their conscience, their minds and even their conscience are seared with a hot iron. They're numb. They're numb to the things of God. They're numb to the things of the Holy Spirit. Their hearts, their minds have been cauterized, if you will. There's no feeling left in them. You can't reason with those kind of people. Amen? And not only that, the second warning here for us and Timothy as well, he says, do not strive. That word strive means don't battle over words. Stay as far away from that, and he tells us why. And this is vital. Look at that verse again. It tells us what it does, loved one. It says there, to the ruin of the hearers. Let's read that together. To the ruin of the hearers. That is a key verse, and I pray that you study this and you ponder that. You know, I was thinking, how could it be a ruin to the hearers? Just because you hear something, why would it ruin a person, right? And so I started really thinking about that. In other words, he said, don't you argue, don't strive, don't have word battles, all of those things, if you will. And the word hearers there, if you looked in the Greek and studied it out, it means those, they hear the false teaching, but they do so with attention. It's just not, well, I heard it. No, they're attentive to whatever is being spoken. In other words, they're hearing with the ear of the mind. What did Jesus say about that? In Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, I think it's 24, he says, listen, take heed what you hear. Warning, take heed, be on guard. For with the measure you use it, it'll be measured back to you. If you have wrong teaching and you hear it and you use it, is it going to prosper you? No, not at all. It's going to endanger you. So the effects of false teaching, it ruins the hearer. Man, the power of words. They listen and it ruins their life. The word ruin in the Greek is a picture. It's a picture, if you know anything about farming, remember those disc plows? And you would go and plow the field and it's turning the earth over and over and over. What Paul is saying about the word ruin, he's saying, you want to know the effects of false teaching? It will plow you under in your life. It will ruin a person spiritually. False teaching comes from whom? The devil, the wicked one. He is the father of every lie. So he says, listen, man, you get away from, don't participate in word wars or word battles and empty, fruitless talk. Don't do that. Now, listen carefully. The effects of false teaching. The word ruin in the Greek, let me read it to you in the Greek, and I did it phonetically. Katastrophe. Let me say that again. I sounded intelligent. But we know that I'm not, okay? Katastrophe. What does that mean? Well, I know that. It is a strong word in the Greek, and we get our English word catastrophe. That is the effects, loved one, of listening attentively to false teaching. And that's what Paul is saying. See, it can have a disastrous effect upon those who hear that. False teaching will lead a person straight to hell. Amen? Yes, it'll plow them under spiritually forever. I remember years ago, Thomas, I forget how old he was, and Becky and I, we used to go to, what's that coffee place? Starbucks? Is it Starbucks?
Yeah.
Okay, Starbucks. I don't go there anymore, but then we're going back 20 years or whatever. So we would sit outside, and there's a table, you know, like those tables, and people would be sitting everywhere. Well, I couldn't help it, but I was hearing these two or three guys talk to this other guy about the Lord Jesus. And everything they were telling him, and they had their book open, everything they were telling him was a lie. Oh, and I just, finally, I couldn't take it. I went over to that table. And Becky and Thomas headed to the truck, man. I went over to the table, and I didn't sit down. I grabbed the man that they were witnessing to, and I said, listen to me. These people are liars, and they work for their father, who is the father of all lies. And they're telling you what they are telling you. If you believe it, you're hearing it, but if you let that sink in, sir, I said, you will go straight to hell. And I said, get up right now. Get up from this table and run. Run with all of your heart, for these people are deceivers. That didn't go over well with them at all. But I didn't do it in a mean manner. I looked at that man the whole time. I didn't talk to them. I was telling him who they were. You know, the thing is that false teaching, it can lead to a catastrophe in a person's life. See, the Bible says in Proverbs 18:21, it says life and death is in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Man, listen, you know, we don't need to battle about words, loved one, or debate over words. We need to be doers of the word of God. Amen? Amen. James 1:22. It says, be diligent now. Watch this. We're talking about words. We're talking about right words, wrong words. False words, true words. It says, be diligent now, Timothy, and this is for everybody, to present yourself, how? Approved to God. How do we do that? Well, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, not empty, fruitless word battles. Rightly dividing means to cut a straight line or to plow a straight course or just cut a straight cut, if you will. And talking now about the word of truth, the word of God. He says, Timothy, the King James says, study, okay, the version. But this is a better translation because it means be diligent. He's talking about do your absolute best, man. Make every effort, work hard to present yourself unto God. Approved means this. A person has been tested, and now after testing, he has been approved, and now he is fit for service. Amen? So he says, that's what you need to do. And you need to be a worker, all of us, a worker who is not ashamed when their work is tested. Not ashamed before men, but ashamed before God. Now, what would bring that kind of shame? You ready? There it is right in front of us. Not handling God's word accurately. Now, let me tell you something about handling, studying the word of God. If you're going to teach the Word of God, and matter of fact, it doesn't matter if you teach all of us, we need to be diligent. Amen? Loved one, listen, it requires work. It requires labor on your part. There's no other way around it. It takes time. You've got to diligently study to rightly divide the Word of God. Amen? There's 66 books here. There are not any shortcuts. Don't ever think there's a shortcut. You have to labor. Like I said, do your absolute best. To be skillful in the Word of the living God, you have to spend time in the Word of God. You know, this week, for example, I was 2 days of traveling, and then I had meetings with another pastor in another city in Texas. So I had to drive way over there, then I had to drive. Didn't get home till late that evening. Man, I was exhausted, but see, I didn't get to spend my time in the Word like I normally do. I like reading. I like studying. I like staying in the Word. It keeps you, it builds you up. It keeps you renewed in your mind. Amen? So that's so important. You go a week without the Word of God, you will be weak in your walk, believe me. Now, there's no doubt about it. So to be skillful again in the Word, you have to spend time with the Word. And listen, not only that, if you don't know what you believe from God's Word, how can you practice it? That's all believers. Verse 15 is for every Christian. It's not a pastor, okay? So, but what I love here is that it says the word of truth. Isn't that a beautiful name for the Bible? The word of truth from the God of all truth. Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth, O God. Listen, reading the Bible, reading your Bible is wonderful, but you have to understand what you read. We're talking about the effects of false teaching. You have to know the truth, amen? Because there are lies out there every day and you're hearing them, loved one. Listen, for example, to study the Bible, you rightly divide the word of God. You know what it means. For example, a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power of a sound mind. Remember that? And so, if I recall, I said something to the effect as, every one of us, we know that scripture by heart. God has not given us a spirit of fear. And so, but we think of that word, and it's not the word that should be used there, okay? It's not phobos, which is, I'm afraid, I'm fearful. Remember, it's deilia in the Greek, which means cowardness. And I said, Christians are not cowards, amen? And so someone said to me, well, Bill, that's your interpretation. I looked at them. I said, what'd you say? That's your interpretation. Everybody has their own interpretation. I said, no, sir, that is the correct interpretation. That is right from the original languages. Amen. You see what I'm getting at? See, there's words that we read, but they may not mean exactly what we think they mean. Well, how do you rightly divide the Word of God? You have to study the Word of God. Every Christian should have a Bible online. You can get all your dictionaries, everything you need right there for free. Break down what you're reading. You see, it's one thing to read the Word of God, but you are to meditate on the Word of God. And how can you effectively really witness to others or answer questions from others if you're not rightly dividing the Word of truth? See, that is so, so vital to do that, loved one. See, the thing is that for us, reading into the text what is not there, does that help anybody? No, it doesn't help anyone at all. To rightly divide the word of truth is to communicate its meaning and the intention. In other words, it's that observation. What does it say? It's the interpretation of what I'm reading. What does it mean? It is the application. How do I apply what I am reading now and understanding and interpreting to my own personal life? You have to rightly divide the Word of God. And not everyone in this world, do they cut straight the Word of God? No, loved one, they don't do that at all. Some rightly divide the Word of God. Some falsely or wrongly divide the Word of God. And you know, you've heard it, if you listen to any Christian TV, which I listen very little of, they can take verses out of their original context and just teach it and go, that's not what that verse means. That's not what that verse means at all. You know, and not only that, some people have created a doctrine out of one single verse. You can't do that. Do you understand? Oh, that'll get you in trouble. Oh, listen, that's why it is important to be in a church that teaches the truth of God from cover to cover. They teach the whole counsel of God. They teach all 66 books of the Lord, amen? Not their pet doctrines or so forth. Listen, you will never understand the rapture or believe it to be exactly what it is unless you know the Word of God. You can actually, are you with me? But you know, you have people that say, well, the church has replaced Israel. No, that's called replacement theology. That is a false teaching. It is not right. I don't care who it is. I don't care what church does it. God has made an everlasting, eternal covenant with the nation of Israel through Abraham. Amen? See, but you have to know that. You have to know it, but you have to also believe it. And so the problem is there's so much twisting of God's word today. If you're not anchored in the word of God, if you're not really making the word of God primary in your life, if you're not seeking first the kingdom of God, man, if you're not making those things a priority, you know what? You better be ready to get blown away, because the Bible says in Ephesians 4:14 that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and be carried about with every wind or every gust of doctrine, a gust of doctrine that seems, well, that's so appealing. It just sounds right. Well, it can sound right and be wrong. Not only that, it says, with every wind of doctrine, and it says, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. That deceitful plotting means inventing error. It means fleecing the sheep and not feeding the sheep. So what does Paul say to do now? The effects of false doctrine, false teaching. It says in verse 16, but what? Avoid, stay away from. It says shun what? Profane, that word means godless chatter. Things that are, it's profane, it's wicked, it's evil. It says profane, and look at this word, idle babbling. Say that with me, idle babblings. You know what that means, idle babblings? It means empty sounds. You know, it's empty. You hear a sound, but it doesn't have anything there. It's an idle babbling. I nearly called the sermon a bunch of babblers, but I didn't do that. No, it says, now watch this, the effects of false teaching. This is so important. It says, shun, stay away from them. Why? For they will what? That word means they will lead to more ungodliness, even more or greater ungodliness. So why in the world, what is Paul saying? He says, guys, you have to shun, stay away from, avoid at all cost, you know, because of where it leads. The more you listen to the things that are false, I tell you what it does. It takes you further and further or farther and farther, which one is correct, I don't care, away from God. And if the more you get away, the farther you get away from God, then it leads you into more ungodliness. Yes. The horrible effects of false teaching in the world today and then. But false teaching does something else. Look at verse 12. This is horrible. It says, and their message, these false teachers, look what's going to happen. They will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort. In other words, these apostates, if you will. Now, we don't know anything about Philetus except he's an apostate. Hymenaeus, he was delivered over to Satan. You remember in, I think it was 1 Timothy 20 or someplace over there. And so to make a long story short, look at the title of their sermon. I titled it this, Profane and Idle Babblings. Now listen, profane and idle babblings, I can't even say the word, they may sound good. Are you listening to me? They will sound good maybe. They could even be popular and they can spread all across the church. And they can do so quickly, but you better beware. It's a killer. Look what it says, spread like what? You look that word up in the Greek and the word is gangrene. Okay? It'll spread like gangrene. Boy, if you get that, what? It eats away your flesh. It'll eat away your bone. It'll consume you. And if you don't cut it off, if you don't amputate it, what happens? You die. Listen, false teaching will kill a person spiritually. The effect of it. And that is so important that we see that. And so this false teaching, it spreads. Now, listen, here's what false teaching or idle babblings, it does. It gives a feeding place in whoever is listening because it's eating on you and you're listening, but you don't know it's eating you up because it could sound perfect. It could sound good. It could even sound, but that's got to be right. But listen, this kind of teaching, false teaching, produces spiritually sick saints or even unbelievers. And there's so much babbling in our world today. There's more babbling in our world today than it was in Paul's day. And you know what? It's popular babbling. Empty words that mean absolutely nothing. I hear it all the time. I'm going to tell you something. I am very selective on who I listen to. Do you understand? And when I do listen to people, I listen intently. If I'm going to be, it's like I always tell you, check me out. Check what I'm preaching. See if it's right or wrong. Amen? Well, same thing I do for me. When I'm listening to somebody, I'm checking that out. Is he teaching me the truth? I want to know the truth because that's the only thing that's going to set a person free.
Well, Pastor Bill will complete this message on tomorrow's program, and we look forward to seeing you once again. We want to thank you for listening to Love Never Fails. As you go about your day, remember that you are a vessel for his purpose. May you be gentle to all, patient, and full of grace. Good day, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.